What do you sound like when you haven't had your way? What do you sound like when things are hard in life and you're challenged? The question isn't how much does it take to make you sound like that, or what's your pain tolerance? That's not the question. The question is, when life hurts, what do you sound like? And the second part of the question is, who are you sounding out to? Because that makes a difference. You know the history of the people of Israel. For those of you who have been in Bible studies and in worship, you might have heard this text before. And it was a very difficult time for the Israelites, but God had prepared them for it. If you think about it, God had prepared them for it. They had been as slaves for 430 years, and during that time, they were brought to repentance. You see, God prepared them for hardship through repentance. And then to free them, God manifested in a marvelous kind of way, in a frightening kind of way, his presence and his power. Moses, his staff, it turned into a serpent in front of the Pharaoh. And then Moses' advisors and magicians, they did the same thing. They put their staff down, but Moses' staff ate theirs. As much as I don't like serpents, I would have loved to have seen that one, right? God showed his power. And then again and again, and it was 10 times the 10 plagues, God showed his power. And the message to the Pharaoh was, let my people go. And Israel knew what the message from God was. And they knew that the 10 plagues were to bring the Egyptians down. And finally, with that 10th, with the angel of death and the Passover, the blood of the lamb on the door, there, the people of Israel saw the power of God, the protection of God, and the dread of God. The protection of God, wherever the blood of the lamb was, the people were safe. And wherever the blood was missing, the firstborn of every living thing died. I wouldn't want to have seen that day. And the people knew God's hand. Moses was leading the people out of Egypt, and they got to the water in the Red Sea. And the Red Sea, the waters parted, and they walked across on dry ground. The people of God saw God's hand. And they celebrated. And then they saw the wrath of God because the Egyptian soldiers were chasing after them. And when they got to the water, there it was divided. They decided to follow on through. And when they were out, the waters came back and they all drowned. And they saw the judgment of God. Now, if you were in that crowd, what would you think of God? Yeah. And then they continued the journey. And it was challenging for them because the resources for that size of a population on a mobile mission, okay, they ended up needing water. And they got to a place and the water was bitter and they grumbled, and Moses threw some wood into the water and it turned sweet. And they were refreshed. And then they went further and they got to a place now and they were grumbling. There had been no water and no food, and their bellies were empty and their mouths were dry and their body organs were suffering from dehydration. This is the desert, you know. And having seen the hand of God, and having seen the power of God, and having seen the judgment of God, here they were, and they were grumbling, and they were lying. Moses, why'd you bring us out here? We had it better as slaves. That was the lie. But when their mouths were parched, and when their stomachs were empty, and when they craved the things of the flesh, that time of slavery seemed like prosperity nation. They had something compared to nothing. And God told Moses to strike the rock, and it was to bring forth water. And he provided the manna, stuff we don't understand. And there the people of Israel were fed. But their contentment with their parched mouth and their stomachs, now having water and manna, was not to last. We know they grumbled again. What did they grumble? Manna again. Okay. What they forgot, there's a difference between saying ouch and blaming God for the pain. There's a difference between crying a lament of grief and blaming God for the darkness and the gloom. There's a difference for, you know, recognizing there is suffering in this world and the hardships of life, and then blaming God or God's servant, in this case they blame Moses, for their predicament. And there's a difference between saying, God, we are empty and we have nothing, just because our flesh is dry, but we've forgotten what he did, what he has done for our spirit, for our faith, for our soul. There's a difference. We are reminded in the New Testament the connection of Jesus Christ as the living water. And when Moses, at the command of God, hit that rock and living water, water wellspring, gushed out, we recognize that's the connection. But our problem is we crave other things to make us full. You know, I've said it before, you go to the fridge, you open it up and you close it and you go, there's nothing to eat. You know? And so someone goes in there and says, there's broccoli. You got to be kidding. There's cheese slices. Are you nuts? You know? And when we crave what we crave, when we want what we want, and we don't get it, what do? And kids lament at moms and dads for not shopping and bringing Oreo cookies. You know, and adults bicker back and forth. Well, didn't you remember this? Well, you didn't write it on the list. You know. If I'm poking any of you, I'm sorry. Do you understand? We want how we want, what we want. And when we are in that condition, even in absolute emptiness, we blame God, and we think of the times that when our body was satisfied, how that was so much better. The message of the gospel is that Christ gives you eternal life. The message of the gospel is that your sins are forgiven. The message of the gospel is that your human failures and messes do not separate you from God's love. That's the message of the gospel. So what's the problem? We don't want the gospel. We want chocolate. We want popcorn with lots of butter. You know, we want our salt. We want, and you have your list too. We crave other things, and when we don't have those, man, are we grumpy and moody and irritable and judgmental and critical. And that's just towards each other. I haven't even started on how we think of God. So in this lesson, what are we to learn? That just like before, there's some things in life that has not changed. There are times of hardship. It's just that way. I'm not proud of it. I'm not happy about it. Number two, you don't have to be afraid of it. That sounds so easy to say, doesn't it? Been there, done that. We don't have to be afraid. Why? Because the power of God that the people of Israel saw is the power of God that we know. How do we know? In the water and the word is the power of God that gave us new life and washed away our sins. By the power of God in Christ, this yucky, cardboard-tasting thing called a wafer is the body of Christ. Isn't it miraculous? And the wine, how many of you think this is your favorite wine and you keep it in the house? Do you understand? It's not about the flavor. It's not about the taste. It's about the power of God to take the bread and to take the wine and by his command change it into the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the partaking of that, as that gift is given to us by faith, there we believe that Christ has forgiven me my sins and my faith is strengthened. And it doesn't change the outside world. It didn't change who's running the country. It doesn't change nuclear war threats. It doesn't change the unemployment rate. What it changes me. It changes you. It changes us to equip us to endure. And during the times that we endure, that we persevere, we praise God instead of blaming God. We praise God, we glorify his name, because these things in life, they are temporary and they have no power over him. Are we miserable? Been miserable, how about you? You ever been miserable? Yeah? You ever felt your life a mess? Yeah? You ever wondered where God was? Right with you. Right there. God is with us. And the people of Israel had to be reminded of that when Moses struck the rock and the water came. And when the manna came down again, the people of Israel were reminded God is with them. And through the word and sacraments today, we as God's people are reminded that God is with us. And there is no power greater than God. There is no enemy greater than God. There is no crisis that God cannot bring us through. There is always hope. As Jesus told the woman, it's living water. And so what's satisfied, what's quenched in that is that our heart and our mind in Christ Jesus are alive, even when the body fails. It means our faith in Christ can remain strong when everything else seems weak and feeble. It means that our walk with God has the opportunity to remain true, even with tears in our eyes. Yes, we can hurt. Yes, I've said ouch. But at the same time, we give thanks to God to getting us through this day and knowing he'll be there for all the tomorrows. The message of the Exodus Isn't God's got magic? It's that God gives life. And as in Romans, it says, nothing shall separate us from the love of God, right? Neither the things beneath nor the things above, the things visible or invisible, nothing will separate us from the life we have in Christ. We can be thirsty, we can be hungry, we can be parched, we can be dehydrating, but we have a wellspring for our faith today and tomorrow until Christ brings us home. Amen.